Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chuck and Winkler, AM 1250, 105.7 FM. The Fan everywhere for free on the radio.com app. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Woody, happy Friday. Good morning.
Hey, Woody.
How's it going, guys?
You know, I just I did a two-hour show with Bill Michaels last night, and boy, right off the top, other people was talking at the bar last night. We were talking about that stat that you rolled out, how the Packers are just so bad with the punt return game, minus 8 yards. It's just that's still a number. When you brought that up yesterday, that's still tough to get out of my mind that the Packers still have a winning record with those type of numbers on the return game.
It's you really need to be lucky to be that bad. I mean, really, it doesn't just happen without a bit of I guess misfortune. It's hard to kind of even quantify how poor negative 8 yards on the season is in 9 games. Mm-hmm. So no surprise, I don't think no team in the history of the league has ever finished with negative punt return yards for the season. It's almost impossible to do. Only one team in the past 37 years has had fewer than 100 punt return yards in a season. That was the 2015 then San Diego Chargers. Other than that, you have to go back to 1982 to find anyone else that did that. So it's really remarkable. Now, part of it is that they only have 6 returns on the entire year, and that's the fewest in the league. Part of the reason for that, and Sean Menenga, I thought, was very very clear in his explanation yesterday when he was asked about this. It's really because they haven't set up the return. I mean, certainly losing Trevor Davis doesn't help, because Trevor Davis, when healthy, is one of the league's better return specialists, but it goes way beyond just the returner. They have been double-teaming gunners. They've been way too conservative by even Sean Menenga's own admission. Schematically, they need to open some things up for this. There's a reason why they lead the league in fair catches with 18. They just haven't returned very many. But the reality is, of the 6 that they have returned, 4 have been no gain. 1 was a muff punt that lost 9 yards and the football. The longest punt return this team has all season was a 1-yard punt return by Trevor Davis back in Chicago in the opener. It's really remarkable.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, too. You mentioned Trevor Davis. Was that not a very good idea, trading Trevor? Because I know it's the blocking up front and all that, but maybe a guy like Trevor would help things out a little bit, because the guys they got back, Dyler, even when they have some room, it seems like they're lost returning the football.
So it probably didn't help, you know. I mean, there was a couple where maybe a Trevor Davis can make a play on the ball. Obviously, the muff punt happened with Darius Shepherd and not Trevor Davis. But I watched all 34 times that that teams have punted to the Packers in 9 games, and I'm telling you, it is way beyond just the returner. I mean, there is not a lot of room there. And really, I go back to Sean Menenga's explanation. It really is probably the biggest part of it is the scheme and the fact that, you know, Sean Menenga says that if their gunners, if the Packers' gunners are single-blocked, they should win that rep, that snap, 90% of the time, if not every time. I mean, to really get a gunner, to beat a gunner, you need to double-team block them. A single block's not going to do it. Well, the Packers' opponents have punted to the Packers 27 times in plus territory, so on the other side of the 50 this year. These are the really returnable punts. There's been 27 of those. They've double-teamed both gunners only on 2 of the 27. They haven't set up the return. So I don't know how much Trevor Davis, you know, it probably doesn't help. I don't know how much Trevor Davis being here would have actually made much of a difference with how they blocked the return.
Ryan Wood, by Ryan Wood on Twitter, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, and here on Chuck and Winkler and the Wendy's Big Show throughout the week on The Fan. The Panthers this weekend, obviously going to be an interesting matchup. I think that they are, you know, maybe a tougher team than they're getting credit for. The quarterback situation is what it is. We're no Cam Newton the rest of the season. Kyle Allen has done a good job of leading them to wins. But offensively, it starts and ends with Christian McCaffrey. If this team has had problems against, gosh, Miles Sanders and Philip Lindsay, how in the world are they going to keep Christian McCaffrey at bay?
Well, they're not. I mean, I think that answers that question.
How about under 200 total yards?
Okay, I could see that. I mean, because 200 total yards against any NFL defense, no matter who you are, is always a chore. This is going to be, I mean, forget putting a linebacker on Christian McCaffrey. That was, I think, the first question I asked Mike Pettine yesterday in his press conference was, I mean, do you even bother with it? Or is this a matchup where it has to be a DB, a safety? I would think that they put Darnell Savage Jr. on Christian McCaffrey quite a bit. Just the speed factor. Darnell Savage Jr., a 4-3 guy, it's a lot different than having a 4-7 guy like Blake Martinez try to cover him, you know? That would be my guess, but no matter what, I mean, no team has kept him at bay. He's been one of the best players in the NFL this year, so I don't see the Packers being able to do that. The reality is, when you look at the Panthers' offense, their two strengths is tight end and running back, and defensively for the Packers, the two weaknesses has been stopping tight ends and running backs. So it's not a great matchup for the Packers by any means.
If the Packers don't clean up that area, both of those areas, can they be a legitimate Super Bowl contender? Or is this a problem they're going to have to live with the rest of the season?
Yeah, I don't think teams start 7-1 without being legitimate Super Bowl contenders. That's not to say that they're even favorites, but you know, legitimate Super Bowl contenders, I think, is probably the right way to describe them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you look at the NFC, I think the two best teams in the NFC, as far as kind of separating themselves a little bit right now, are the 49ers and the Saints. And it's going to be really interesting when we see the Packers go out to San Francisco in a couple weeks to see that you want to talk about litmus tests. That's going to be a really, really clear indicator of where this team is in the pecking order and the hierarchy of the conference. I think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender so long as Aaron Rodgers plays at a high level, so long as they're able to continue to develop. I'm operating under the idea that what we're seeing here in Week 10 is not what you'll be seeing necessarily in Week 17, because this is a team with a first-time head coach in a new offense that has shown quite a bit of growth really exponentially throughout the first half of the season. And my projection would be that would continue in the second half of the season. If it doesn't, they stall out, that's a different story. But I think so much of it depends on how much better they get from here to January. And there's a lot of reason to think that there is a lot of, one, room to growth, but two, ability to actually see that growth on the field. So, you know, that in the big picture, that I think that comes down to that. But part of that growth is, I mean, it's definitely defensively start eliminating the explosive plays. There's been way too many of those. Bend but don't break is better than the alternative of bending and breaking, especially when you have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. But the reality is that there's bending too much, and they've done that at times. They need to not just eliminate the explosive plays, but they need to get off the field. They need to stop giving up these long drives that just, one, keeps the defense on the field longer, but two, keeps the sideline the offense on the sideline, so it's hard for them to find a rhythm. So there's growth there as well. Ultimately, we'll see how they do over the last several weeks.
We'll talk to Ryan again on Monday. Leroy Butler to join us at 7. Ryan Wood, 8:20, to wrap up Packers-Panthers. Let's go around the horn here. Freems, you got a prediction?
Yeah, I'm going to say Green Bay is going to win this one 35-21. I know there's going to be some definite concerns about things they got to stop with Carolina, but I think the Packers are going to – I'd be surprised if they did not come out and at least be emotionally ready for this game, unlike Los Angeles, 35-21.
Where are you at, Woody?
You know, I hate this matchup for the Packers. I think that Christian McCaffrey has a big day. Kyle Allen's been able to win. He's 5-1. And for the Panthers defense, they kind of bring pressure in waves. They've got a lot of depth in their pass rush. All of that's to say, I think it's a close game. And if the Panthers won, it would not surprise me at all. But I get what Chuck is saying with the whole emotionally rebounding. I don't think it helps the Panthers that the Packers totally no-showed last week.
Yeah.
And that it's a wake-up call. So I think it's going to be a really close game because it's a bad matchup. But I'm going to say 28-27. A really close game. Comes down to the end. And Aaron Rodgers at home, they find a way to do what they've done most of the season, which is win close games.
Like, I want to predict the Panthers because I do think that, as Wood says, matchup problems. And also, I've been just worried about McCaffrey now for 2 months waiting for this game. But the fact that they did suck so bad in L.A. and now they have to prove that they're better than that, I'm going to go with the Packers here. I'm going to go 30. Now I'm going to go 27-23.
Okay.
Horvat, you like the Packers in this one, I'm sure?
Oh, yeah, 48-0 Packers. Right.
48-0.
No, I'm kidding. I think they win 24-17.
All right, so we all got the Packers, so no one can be mad at us this week. Good. Until Carolina wins, we all look stupid.
It's just
interesting that if last week hadn't happened, this would have been like the total trap game. Like, okay, terrible matchup. No one's going, they're 8-1. There's no way they're going to lose. It could have been a total trap game. The timing's everything in this league.
Yeah, if they win last week, I'd probably take them to lose, but they suck so bad that they got a rebound. Woody, you're always on your A game. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
See you Sunday.
Have a good weekend. We'll see you.
Hey, Woody.
Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
See, I think I'd still take the Packers, even if they won in Los Angeles, because I think, okay, heading into the bye week, they're going to get a win and improved. And God, they could be looking at it, going to 9-1 at this point. And they just won that game last week. And I just think, man, it's just such a winnable game last week. And I hate to keep going back to it. That Charger game's a tough one to get out of my mind.
Maybe I'll just take Carolina. A lot of people are tweeting in how much I suck specifically today, and I'm kind of like I like it. Like it makes me feel alive.
I think you like being a bad guy.
Yeah, so I'm going to take Carolina.
All right,
and then people are going to yell at me all weekend, and it's going to just make me feel alive.
But you got to feel it though.
I feel it.
Do you feel?
I feel it in my bones.
Do you feel like being a bad guy?
Oh, I just
because I feel you flip flops. Some days you want to be the good guy. And some days you want to be the heel.
Do you ever just bleed just to know you're alive?
Ugh! What? You think I want to be the good guy for these people in this dumpy town? Oh. Come on!
A little sports taffy for you.
Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
Sports Flash right now.
Good morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.